You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Hi, I'm Anna Marie Cox, and welcome to With Friends Like These, Converts Edition. Some of us are given the gift of knowing exactly when our life changes. For Julie Raymeier, that moment came deep in the desert.
There were really no humans in my awareness beyond, a few cars about 10 miles away at the bottom of the valley. And that sense of just being surrounded by this enormous space and the kind of quiet of that space, even when there was sound from the wind, there was a sense of the pace of change was geological, not human.
The story of how she came to that realization of her place in geological time is a conversion story of the most profound sort. Not just a switch from one opinion to another, but from one conception of self to another. And, of course, to understand the enormity of Julie's metamorphosis, we need to understand where she began.
So let's see. In the before time, I was and still am a science writer, and my background is in mathematics. I went to graduate school at MIT in math, and I did lots of stuff. I built my own house, my own straw bale house. I was a professor of math and the classics at St. John's College, which I loved. And I ran a marathon. I was on a search and rescue team. I have always been very connected to nature. The house that I built is outside Santa Fe, in a little valley with a stream running through it. And it's surrounded by national forest. So I could literally walk out my door and go for a hike of, pretty much any length I wanted to. I could have hiked to Colorado from my front door.
And then she got sick.
At first, it was at a level that I could kind of manage. And then I gradually got worse and worse. And in particular, I would suddenly get paralyzed, and basically my legs wouldn't work. And then sometimes it would be more than my legs, and I couldn't move much of my body. So that was pretty terrifying. But I learned kind of tricks to manage it. And I, for a long time, was in a mode of sort of, keeping everything going in spite of it. I saw it as sort of like developing like fencing moves with one arm tied behind my back.
But eventually, Julie couldn't fence one-handed anymore. She couldn't do anything.
As I said, the illness came on gradually for me, and I sort of didn't take it that seriously for quite a long time. And then I woke up one day and I was paralyzed. I couldn't walk. And, you know, hard to blow that one off. So particularly when it didn't just go away, which is what I initially expected. So I went to a neurologist figuring, well, you know, paralysis seems pretty neurological. And staggered my way into his office. I could really barely walk at all. I was quite a sight. I mean, I could only walk with an enormous amount of groaning, and every step was this Herculean feat dragging my body into his office. And he did this pretty cursory examination, basically just sort of pushed on my legs and had me resist. That was really like pretty much all that he did. And then he told me that I had chronic fatigue syndrome. And I was like, wait a minute, fatigue? Like, yeah, I've been tired for a long time, but this isn't fatigue. I can't walk, you know? Like, I'm actually paralyzed here. Did you not notice? And so then I was like, okay, well, so what are the like treatments or tests or specialists or, you know, what do I do next? And he had absolutely nothing to say.
To grant just a bit of fairness to this doctor, he had nothing to say because most of traditional medicine, as recently as 5 years ago, didn't have much to say. The standard treatment was to tell patients, try to exercise a little more, while the attitude of the whole medical profession screamed, it's in your head. And CFS patients couldn't do much about it. It's a diagnosis with no test to take, no uniform physical markers, and no obvious cause. And that's what sets it apart from the sorts of diseases there are telethons for. About the same number of people live with CFS as live with lymphoma, about a million and change. But people with CFS can't show you a slide of their problem, and there's no blood test to show they've gotten better. But whenever the scientific community leaves a vacuum, the internet is happy to fill it. And Julie may be a science writer, but she is also a 21st century human, and she could not resist consulting Dr. Google with somewhat expected results.
After that experience with the neurologist, then I did what anybody would do. I turned to Dr. Google and read the little bit that there was to read about chronic fatigue syndrome, which was not very helpful, really, and some of which was pretty frightening, you know, realizing that that there are a lot of people who don't ever recover and that it can be an absolutely devastating illness. You know, many people are housebound or bedbound for years or decades with no treatments. I mean, really, it's like the worst case scenario is kind of like worse than most people's worst nightmares, you know, being unable to tolerate light or sound or touch, sometimes being unable to eat, unable to move, and being in a darkened room for decades, just suffering. I mean, geez, oh. I mean, it's still like there are patients I know in that state, and it's just viscerally horrifying. So in any case, you know, I read the little bit that there was to read online and looked for doctors and found one in the Bay Area where I was at the time, who ended up being this sort of uncomfortable combination of kind of tutti-frutti wacko and real science, which I didn't know what to make of. And he gave me lots of supplements and did lots of tests, and the supplements ended up doing little for me. And I found a few other doctors who were similarly some combination of wacko and legit. I was, you know, I was stuck in bed when I saw a headline in the New York Times about this, and I was just completely shocked. And it took quite a while before I could really sort it all out because I was just too sick. You know, it didn't seem plausible to me. In particular, you know, the biggest thing that I had learned was that I needed to be extremely tuned into my body, and I needed to stop as soon as the thought, "I'm a little tired," drifted through my mind. And they were saying exactly the opposite. They were saying, you know, get on a schedule, doesn't matter how you feel, gradually increase the amount that you do, and that's what will get you better. So it just went against everything that I had learned about my own illness. And, you know, I had been in therapy for many years, and it had helped me, you know, keep from losing my mind, but it didn't help me keep from losing my health. And so, but, you know, at the same time, like, here I am, a science writer, I believe in science, you know, how it was this real challenge of like, how do I put that together?
And we're going to take a quick break to do some business. With Friends Like These is brought to you by Bombas. Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They've literally rethought every little detail of the socks we wear to make them way more comfortable. I wear them, okay, I can't say every day because I'm wearing clogs today and I don't wear socks with clogs, at least not very often. But I do wear Bombas all the time. They are my favorite no-show socks, which are the socks I wear with my running shoes. You know, I think there's this weird trend to like have your socks show again, and my husband does that. And he wears Bombas too. He also swears by them. They are super comfortable. There's something about that arch kind of hugging your feet that I don't know, maybe it's like a primitive thing that having your feet hugged makes you feel more secure. They do keep your feet cozy, and they help give back to the most vulnerable members of the community. For every pair of socks you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas customers has allowed them to donate over 34 million pairs of socks through their nationwide network of over 3,000 giving partners. And the impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes. A small comfort that's especially important right now. Give a pair when you buy a pair and get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/friends. That's bombas.com/friends for 20% off your first purchase. bombas.com/friends. With Friends Like These is brought to you by KiwiCo. Parents, you may feel like your kid's summer vacation started way early if you've been at home together for all this time. But now actual summer vacation is here. But learning at home doesn't have to stop, and you can keep them busy. There is KiwiCo, and they can deliver an art class, a science class, fun class, right to your door. Now, I do not have children. I do, however, have three nieces and a nephew, and they are all the spawn of one person, my sister-in-law. So right now, she has had four children under the age of 13 at home, no school for 4 months. And she loves me. She loves me because I take care of these kids. KiwiCo has these projects that keep them busy. I don't get thank you notes from the kids, which, you know, I'm okay with because I never sent thank you notes as a kid myself. My sister-in-law, however, she is pretty grateful. Now, you can do your part to encourage the children in your life to be innovators and creative thinkers. They won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo. And when they're finished, watch their confidence be as big as their smile. It can be hard to find creative and new things to do with your children to keep them busy and challenged, especially during these especially long summer days. KiwiCo does the legwork for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together at home. There are different crates for kids of all ages, so there's something for every kid on your list. And there's no commitment. You can pause or cancel at any time, because who knows, someday this will be over. Although you still might want to send them crates. KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There is something for every kid and kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/friends. That's KIWICO.com/friends.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
And back to Julie Raymeier. At this point, it wasn't that Julie abandoned science. It was that she felt science abandoned her. She decided to take a chance on what the CFS community calls the mold theory, which is based on the very real scientific fact that mold can make you sick.
Well, yeah, I mean, the leap was really big with the mold theory. It was really big because there really wasn't any science that I could find at that point to back it up. I mean, eventually I was able to dig up a little bit, but nothing that, you know, is pretty remote from my experience. Really all I had to go on was the experience of other patients. And those patients in some ways seemed very thoughtful and impressive, and in other ways, crazy and unnerving. So you know, it was really like, in going to the desert, it truly was a leap of faith. And mostly I didn't think that it was going to work. So it was an interesting process getting to the point of being willing to do that, even though I really mostly didn't think it was going to work. And it was a combination both of not having better options and absolutely needing something. And there was also a weird, almost sense of inevitability. Like, it felt like the decision was being made on a level that was independent of my rational processing about it. Like, you know, I did my process of research and talking to people and analyzing what was being said and then chewing on it and going back and forth and thinking, you know, this is crazy. I can't possibly pursue such a ridiculous thing. And thinking, oh, but here are the experiences other people have had, and maybe it could be true for me too, and going back and forth. But it felt like the decision was being made on some deeper level, that I just felt this pull. And part of it was a sense of, like, the, you know, it was a wonderful adventure. Like, the idea of being able to do something like that, even in the midst of being so sick, it felt like a way of continuing to be me, like asserting my existence in the face of it all.
This ridiculous thing consisted of going to the middle of Death Valley. Yes, Death Valley, in a borrowed car, with borrowed equipment, nothing that had been exposed to mold. The idea was to go and detox, and the test would be how she felt when she returned. It turned out, however, that the desert itself was the crucible, and she was changed by it.
So I was on the side of this valley, and on the other side was the Panamint Mountains that are completely bare, and you can see the geology kind of written on the flanks of the mountains. There are streaks of different colors of the different soils going across the mountains. And around me was just kind of a moonscape, like, you know, rubble and little bitty bushes. So it was a real sense of just enormous spaciousness and kind of nothingness. But in that spaciousness and nothingness was a lot of beauty. And I was pulled completely out of my life. My life had kind of fallen apart around me. My relationship, my primary relationship, had ended. I was mostly unable to work. I was literally, you know, had nothing of my own around me. And aloneness had always scared me a lot. But what I found was this incredible sense of peace and fullness in my life at that moment. I felt, you know, all I had to do was these kind of very basic survival tasks, and everything else had fallen away. And throughout my life, I had taken my sense of myself from what I could accomplish. I'd always been really driven, and I'd had this belief that contentment would come from accomplishing my goals. But by that point, like, the idea of accomplishing my goals seemed just completely absurd. I mean, I was so sick, and just surviving really was all I could do. I had no idea if I would ever get better. You know, I had this illness where doctors and science had nothing to offer. I was pursuing this idea that I thought was ridiculous. It felt in many ways like kind of the world had failed me and I was just on my own. So in that context, to suddenly feel this sense of fullness and completeness, and to be able to just be in that landscape and kind of take that spaciousness inside me and find that it was enough, that just being alive, not trying to accomplish anything, not striving, not, you know, working toward a goal or solving a problem, but just being, that offered contentment. That was really transformative for me.
This kind of revelation is freeing whenever and wherever it comes. For Julie, letting go of her outward identity, her identification with her career, it allowed her to fully embrace trying the ridiculous. And it helped that the re-exposure section of the mold test Julie was doing suggested that she was, in fact, sensitive to mold. So she structured her life around not being around mold, and she got better. She also found that coffee enemas, and yes, that is exactly what it sounds like, helped, and so she used those. And after her boyfriend had an extraordinary experience with a psychic healer, Julie thought, okay, why not?
And at the end of it, he said he recommended energy work, which I wasn't really clear on what that was. So I came back to do the energy work again. Why not? And it was again, much like what you might do in a therapist's office. It had a little more like focus on the body than what I had experienced with a therapist. But didn't seem, there was nothing about the energy work that seemed especially wacky to me. And at the end of the session, he said, I'm not going to remember the exact words, but essentially, you're healed. Your mold reactivity is gone. And I thought, yeah, right. So, you know, at that point, I had gotten very much better by avoiding mold. But when I was exposed to even very small quantities, then I got very sick. So I had to be careful about which buildings I went into and, you know, prepared any time to have to suddenly leave and that kind of thing. And so that evening, I told John about the experience, and then we decided to test it and went into a building that I couldn't tolerate. And I went in and I initially felt like I felt the mold. I felt it in all the familiar ways. I could feel my legs starting to get weak. And I thought, ah, darn, it didn't work. But then I went to leave, and before I could get out of the building, I noticed it was a little better. And I stopped and I walked around and I was actually okay. So it was really, I mean, I was blown away, absolutely blown away by this. And frankly, a little embarrassed. Like the idea that, you know, a psychic would have such a profound impact on me. I mean, for one thing, it very much made it seem like, well, then, you know, does that mean that my problem was psychological to begin with? Which, given all the, I mean, actually, it was not an idea that I was completely closed to. I mean, I talk a lot in the book about, you know, my own psychology and the kind of interactions that I see between psychology and illness on, you know, any number of different levels. But particularly given the kind of wounding that I and other patients have experienced around that from this terrible research and the attitude of doctors and all kinds of things, that was a pretty abhorrent idea at that moment. But you know, it continued to be better. And fundamentally, I just felt like, well, I'll take it. You know, I want to be better much more than I want to be dignified.
I confess, I was drawn to Julie's story by what seemed superficially like the biggest transformation. She was a mathematician, a science writer, who came to embrace mystical, unscientific forms of relief. But the more I turned her story over in my head, the more I realized that the radical break for Julie wasn't about exchanging science for not science, but exchanging a self defined by achievement and external markers for a simple truth. She is enough. We are enough. We are not our achievements. We simply are. And it's true that one outcome of that new idea was to free Julie to try new things and to get better. But when we caught up with Julie for this episode, it turned out the emergence of her strong sense of self had outlasted some of the physical progress.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there are also different levels. Like, the fundamental sense of being able to derive satisfaction from the immediate moment, being able to feel that basic joy in being alive and to have that independent of what I'm able to accomplish, that has completely remained. And at the same time, I am incredibly sick of being sick. I'm incredibly frustrated at not being able to accomplish things. You know, and it's also scary. I mean, there are lots of reasons at the moment to think that things will get better from where I am, but it's still very scary after all this time to still be so sick. And so part of what's interesting to me about it is the way that those things can coexist. Like the drive is not gone. The desire is not gone. The frustration that goes with that is not gone. But it doesn't define me in the way that it used to. And it's like I can go back and forth between them. Like I can feel the, you know, the frustration and the aggravation and all of that. And then I can step back and I can say, wow, like, look at the trees. You know, I can feel the sunshine on my skin. I can play with my dog. I can be with my husband. And I can feel like I can take those blessings in a really deep way and feel the joy that goes with them and the completeness that goes with them. Like, it's not just, oh, that's really nice, now let's go back to the frustration. It's like, oh, right. Oh, it's like, even if I'm in a lot of pain, even if I'm really out of it, even if my physical state is really far from what I want it to be, like, wow, it is really a good thing being alive. And I feel these blessings all the way down.
It may have occurred to you that at this particular point in our history, we've all had some experience with chronic illness.
So just in thinking about, you know, where we are right now with COVID and the experience that we're all going through, the thing that comes to my mind about what I've been through, you know, over the last, it's actually been 20 years since I very first started getting sick, which is kind of appalling to think of. But, you know, thinking about, like, you know, what have I learned from that experience that might be helpful to other people at this moment when, like, our whole world is being shaken up and we don't know what's going to happen, which is, you know, very similar to where I was. Like, my whole world was being shaken up. All of the things that I had counted on were taken away, and the answers weren't clear, you know, in the same way that when you're working on a math problem, the answers aren't clear until you get there, and you're kind of living in that uncertainty. And I think the thing, at least one of the things that came from that whole experience for me that I think is might be valuable for others right now is the value of just being willing, like entering that time of uncertainty where the experience is loss, like you're in the middle of the loss and you don't know what's going to come. And being able to just say, okay, like I will let all of this stuff that I love, that I think of as part of my identity, that I really want in my life, I'll let it go, and I'll let it go willingly. And I'll not put my energy into resisting that or trying to hold on to it, and trust that something will come of this experience, that this is leading me somewhere worth going, even if it's not where I want to go. And that place of willingness creates the space that then allows you to create purpose and meaning from the experience. You know, when you're in the state of no, I don't want this, then all of your energy goes into holding on to what was, and you don't have any energy left to create something new. So I feel like that, I mean, that's something that I keep going back to in this experience, and just saying, okay, I'm willing, whatever it is. You know, whatever the new world will be with COVID in it, I'm willing, and I'm willing to lose whatever is asked of me.
And that is it for the show. As usual, please let us know if you like this new thing that we've created. And if you are interested in Julie's story, she tells a much fuller and even more beautiful version of it in her memoir, Through the Shadowlands, A Science Writer's Odyssey into an Illness Science Doesn't Understand. Highly recommended. That's it, like I said. So please let us know what you think. And please take care of yourselves.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.